Hi, and welcome to There's Hope with Homeopathy. My name is Amy Lansky, and I'm broadcasting live this month from Portola Valley, California, which is right near Stanford University in the San Francisco Bay Area. Many of you, I hope, have tuned in before. As you know, this show airs the third Friday of each month, and my focus is on classical homeopathic treatment, how it can benefit your entire family, and especially how it can help in the treatment of autism. And the reason I'm doing this show and why I'm devoted to spreading the word is that my own son, Max, was cured of autism with homeopathy. Max is 14 now. He's a freshman in high school, and he's completely clear of autism and has been for several years now. We began treatment when he was about 3.5, and by the time he was 5 and 5.5, he was testing normally, but then there was a few more years, but by the time he was about 8 or 9 years old, he was completely clear. So if you'd like to hear more about that story, I do recommend listening to the February show. You can find archives of my previous shows at my book website, ImpossibleCure.com. That's another thing that I want to encourage listeners to do, which is if you really want to find out about homeopathy and how it can help you and your family and your child, I recommend buying my book, Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy, which is one of the best-selling books on homeopathy these days, not just as an autism book, but it does include the story of my family and our journey using homeopathy for our son Max. Anyway, and also this show is, in a way, it's a course on homeopathy that's based on my book. So what are we going to do today? Well, I always like to turn to current events a bit. And certainly one of the things we're all thinking about is Christmas and the other holidays coming up, and a lot of us traveling, and the flu, which is ever in our consciousness because of the media that keeps putting it there. I actually began last month talking about the flu, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it more today. And then the other half of the show, I'm going to read some stories from my book. You know, my book has the story of Max's cure in it, but it really has dozens of other stories of homeopathic cures for a wide variety of ailments, physical, mental, emotional ailments. So I hope to read a few of those today. That's in Chapter 9 of my book, although they're actually spread out throughout the book, other stories. So that's kind of a Christmas present, Hanukkah present, or whatever present for you guys out there. So let's talk about the flu a little bit. You know, I was recently reading some of this more esoteric literature, and what they claim is that the energy of the flu, this is, you know, viewing disease coming from sort of spiritual energy in this esoteric literature, but that the flu arises from fear consciousness. Now, isn't that interesting, actually? We know that, for example, the 1918 flu epidemic, which was one of the most deadly, began at the end of World War I. Obviously, there was a lot of fear going around in World War I. Of course, you know, all these soldiers and death and stuff, too. So that was when one of the worst epidemics happened, flu epidemics. Now, certainly since 2001, 9/11, we are, you know, just besieged by kind of a fear consciousness, especially in this country, and in particular, fear about the flu. So isn't that interesting if it is true that the energy of the flu, of the energy of fear, leads to flu? Now, I just thought of this just now, that a couple of the more prominent remedies for the flu, in particular one I'm going to be talking about today, gelsimium, is actually a remedy for some fear states, especially before examinations, like examination fear, but it's also a very important flu remedy. Another flu remedy, especially for the onset of flu, is aconite, which is one of our primary fear remedies in homeopathy. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? So how can we not get the flu or lessen our chances of getting the flu? Well, one of them is to stop being afraid, I guess. Get out of that fear consciousness. And one way to do that is to be prepared. And one way to do that is homeopathy. Because homeopathy, as I talked about last month, when I talked about epidemics and homeopathy's success in treating epidemics, especially when it was used in a widespread way in the 1800s, homeopathy has huge success in treating epidemics, and in particular the flu. So we can have a lot of confidence. I know I do. I don't really fear this at all. So bring your remedy kit on your travels and learn about flu treatment with homeopathy, and you won't be afraid. Let's start then. Okay, so let's talk about the flu. I was doing a little research on this week, and let's talk about the allopathic or conventional approaches. First of all, the Tamiflu manufactured by Donald Rumsfeld's company. That's the United States has ordered like $1 billion worth of Tamiflu. Well, unfortunately, because of its overuse, it is proving less and less effective as an antiviral medicine. Another thing that I read recently is that Tamiflu has also been known to have had very severe side effects, to the extent, in Japan, for example, where they were using it, there were several instances of deaths in children from Tamiflu, and to the point where they have now discontinued using Tamiflu for children, pending investigation. So, if we all start taking Tamiflu, that might not be so good. The other allopathic solution to the flu is the flu vaccine. Well, us autism parents know that's not such a great option for us, because one thing for sure is they've gotten the mercury out of other vaccines, perhaps, but definitely not out of the flu vaccine. And one reason is that the mercury is used as a preservative, so any kind of major widespread vaccination campaign where they're going to be vaccinating a lot of people, they're going to be using mercury as a preservative, because they use vials that contain many doses. So we don't want to do that either. And the flu vaccine is of limited success, especially in older people and babies, interestingly, the target, the ones they say need it. And for the bird flu that we're all afraid of, there is no effective vaccine that we have yet. So the flu vaccine's not going to help you either, if at least not yet, if there's bird flu. So what can we do? Well, first of all, the most important thing is to stay healthy, because you'll be less susceptible to the flu. And so, you might take vitamin C, take echinacea, things like that, that will improve your health or your lessen your susceptibility. Of course, if you're being treated by a homeopath, that will also improve your health. Okay, there's a couple other preventative measures. Now, I talked about this last month, but I'll review a little bit. The best preventative homeopathically for the flu is, once the nature of the flu has been determined, is to take the remedies that have been determined to be the one specific to a particular flu epidemic. But you can't always do that, because you don't know what the characteristics of the flu epidemic will be until it hits. So one thing that some people do, I don't do this, but some people swear by this, is taking the remedy Influenzinum, which is made from some recent strains of the flu. It's a homeopathic remedy, so it's potentized, highly diluted. It's not like a vaccination, and you take it obviously orally as a pill. Some people say you should take a low dose of Influenzinum. For example, 6C, 9C, 12C, I've heard things like that, once a week, even during the flu season. I myself don't do this, but some people do this and say there is success with that. Another approach is to have in your home kit, the remedy acylococcinum, which is made by Boiron. And there have been three independent studies that have shown that taking acylococcinum at the first sign of the flu will decrease the severity and the length of the flu. Now, interestingly, this remedy is made from the intestines of wild ducks. It was discovered in 1919, right after the 1918 flu pandemic. So, and it's made from the intestines, heart, and liver of the duck. And as we know, the fowl, wild fowl especially, are the breeding grounds of the bird flu. So, that's another thing. I actually have some. You take it within the first 48 hours. If you notice anything about the flu, it's supposed to help lessen the flu. So that's another approach. But like I said, the best thing to do is to be armed with a remedy kit and to stay tuned to what the genus Epidemicus or particular remedy that matches a particular flu epidemic. You have those remedies on hand. Now, one thing I highly recommend is getting Sandra Perko's book. It's called Homeopathic Treatment of Influenza, and she's actually come out with a special bird flu edition. So her last name is Perko, P-E-R-K-O. You can get this from the homeopathic booksellers, and you can also get it at Amazon, I believe. If you want to find out who the homeopathic booksellers are, they're pointed to on my website, impossiblecure.com. So, in Sandra Perko's book, she gives really a detailed discussions of 68 common flu remedies, and has a keynote, quick reference kind of thing, so you can look the symptoms up and pick the right one. Now, with this, the information about the bird flu, we obviously don't have too much information about humans with the bird flu, but the little information we do have is that it's characterized by nausea, vomiting of blood, and really a disintegrative state of the lungs. And this actually points to not many non-traditional flu remedies, in particular various snake poison remedies that have this effect. Like snake poisons can cause a disintegration of the lungs and vomiting blood and stuff like that. So they cause these kinds of symptoms, and therefore these might be the kinds of remedies we'd have to use in a bird flu epidemic. It's also been suggested that various remedies that have been, you know, are related to radiation sickness might also be suitable, because as we know, actually, from perhaps people who've undergone radiation, they have nausea, blood. I'm not sure if they have vomiting of blood, but maybe they do. So in any case, the thing to do is to keep tabs on the site of the National Center for Homeopathy, which is homeopathic.org, H-O-M-E-O-P-A-T-H-I-C.org. There's a little facility on the site called the Flu Tracker, and on that site we will post any information we have on the genus Epidemicus for the flu, bird flu or not bird flu. Well, actually, I have heard this year, and I'm starting to have a little experience with it, that this year's flu, non-bird flu but normal flu, is probably characterized by a couple different remedies. One is gelsimium, again, which I mentioned earlier, and another is eupatorium. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the characteristics of those two remedies. A gelsimium flu, and actually I am having some experience with now, because my son Max, the one who used to be autistic, has been sick the past couple days. Actually, he got better much very quickly because I gave him some gelsimium, but a couple nights ago came down with like 102 fever. His face, and so he had a lot of characteristics of Joel Simeon, and I had heard about this, so I gave it to him right away. His face was very, his cheeks were like reddish, kind of dusky, you know, kind of look on his face. And he was very tired, apathetic, kind of out of it, and just came home from school and just fell right asleep. And when he woke up, he didn't know what day it was or what was going on. He just could hardly get up and walk out of bed. He was so tired. And he had a headache. It's kind of a dull headache. Now, it has an interesting symptom, which he had, and this is a symptom of Joel Simeon, which is that his headache was better after he peed, after he went to the bathroom and urinated. So that's a characteristic symptom of Joel Simeon. There's achiness, muscle achiness, but one of the key things is that it's very, the person is just so weak. Weak, can hardly get out of bed. And usually the onset's rather slow, and that was true in his case too. He said, he hadn't told me, of course, that he'd been feeling sick, you know, feeling something coming on for a couple days. Kind of thirstless. So that's the picture. And after a dose of that, he slept really well. Yesterday he didn't have a fever, although he had a slight fever last night. He's feeling better today, but I'm going to keep up with the Joel Simeon. Actually, Joel Simeon is also a good remedy in the aftermath of the flu when you're just not getting better so fast. During the convalescence period. So really, Joel Simeon is one of the primary remedies for the flu. And it was the key remedy for the 1918 flu epidemic, interestingly, which was a bird flu. So interesting. Another important flu remedy that's going on right now is eupatorium, like I said, and the key characteristic of that is that you have severe pain in your bones, in your limbs, your back. You're so bad that your bones feel broken. So, and your eyeballs are sore, and you have it's a more intense pain state. You feel worse from any kind of movement, and you're thirsty in this case for cold drinks. So that's another kind of flu that's going around right now, eupatorium. So keep that in mind. I've also heard that if the primary characteristic is a sore throat, although Max had a sore throat too, and which was better from the Joel Simeon, but if the sore throat is the primary characteristic, then mercury seems to be the remedy right now for that. And in this case, there's a lot more discharges, yellow, green discharges. There's intense thirst, hunger, hot and cold with extremes of temperature. And there's like drooling and really a bad taste in the mouth and restlessness. So that would be a mercury kind of flu. Anyway, so enough about that. There are some tips, but really one of the best things to do is go to the NCH website, the Flu Tracker. There's all kinds of articles there that you can read. And when we know more, if some bird flu epidemic hits, which I don't think it will this year, hasn't even gone been transmitted person to person, but that would be the site to check. Also, homeopaths got together as a convention of homeopaths in France in November, and they've resolved to put together a website too. Boiron, which is one of the manufacturers, is going to put up a website. And so they're, homeopaths are getting prepared, because we know that we're going to be one of the only forms of medicine out there that's going to actually really, you know, provide hope if there is a huge pandemic. So let's go to the cure stories. It's already 11:20, but I always go over in this show. So I'll read as many as I can. I have a list here. And I'm going to start with something written by Will Taylor, who is a very prominent, respected homeopath in the United States. He practices now in Portland, Oregon. He's an MD homeopath. And he came from being a conventional doctor to homeopathy. So let me read this. He says, "My first formal training in homeopathy was the IFH professionals course. We were all formally trained allopathic doctors and nurses and such. The first class we went around the room and told how we'd come to be interested in homeopathy. Nobody was there because of a theoretical convincement. Each person had an anecdote to relate. My desperate and wonderfully successful consultation of a quack to treat my shingles," so he was cured of shingles, "an MD mom with a kid successfully rescued from dialysis and impending kidney transplant by a single dose of Apis made from honeybee poison. And of course lots of arnica stories to tell. Sometimes I wonder if God gave us the arnica plant to entice us into homeopathy. I don't think there was a dry eye in the room at the end of the session. This is an empirical science. Galileo didn't get far trying to reason with people as to why there might be moons around Jupiter. He just asked them to look in the telescope. I would ask any skeptic, just as Galileo did, please, just look. It's there. Homeopathy doesn't fit into the worldview I held before my shingles were cured. And it will never fit into that worldview, just as Galileo's moons will never fit into the pre-Galilean views of the universe. Homeopathy has changed my view of the world and how it works. Don't deny yourself the opportunity to expand your view as well. Please, just look in the telescope." Okay, so I thought I'd start here with a story that speaks to sort of issues of getting the metals out of the body. People always ask me that. So, and in fact, one thing I usually tell you is next month's session, which is in January, next week, month's show, I'm going to be doing a sort of a FAQ, frequently asked questions show. So that might be interesting for a lot of you. Okay, so this story, next story, is about arsenic. Somebody was suffering from arsenic poisoning and used homeopathic, a very high dose of potency dose of arsenic, that means extremely dilute, to get the body to excrete it. So, let's see. "In 1932, it was my privilege to study under Sir John Weir of London, England." Okay, this was written by somebody. This is an old homeopathic journal paper. Okay. He goes on. "During one of his lectures, he told us that a single dose of 1 mg to 10 mg, which is a very high potency, of a specific substance that was causing the symptoms would allow the body to expel the offending material quickly and easily. My first experience with this principle was in 1936, just after my return from 4 years of missionary work in Africa. A 42-year-old orchardist staggered into my office and collapsed on the couch in the waiting room. He was cyanotic. He was perspiring profusely, and his pulse was too rapid to count. 'Doc,' he said, 'I'm dying.' I was inclined to agree with him. As an apple grower, he had had many small exposures to arsenic over the past 20 years. While working inside a spray tank, he finally received sufficient additional exposure to throw him into an acute toxic condition. Knowing he would never live long enough to make it to the hospital, I stood next to him feeling quite helpless. Suddenly, I recalled the lessons of Sir John Weir. From some remedies brought back from London, I found a 10 mg potency of arsenic, which is arsenic diluted to the degree of 100 to the 10,000th. I poured a half a teaspoon of this granules onto his tongue. Within an hour, his pulse began to slow down, but he still perspired freely. An hour later, I was startled to hear him call me. Arriving quickly to his side, he pointed to a white powder that was appearing where the perspiration was drying on the folds of his blue shirt. As he brushed it off, he smelled it and then tasted it. 'This is white arsenic, Doc. There's enough here to kill 3 men. It seems one dose of homeopathic arsenic changed the body's polarity enough so that the toxic arsenic, which had been attracted to the cells, was now being expelled. Within 3 hours, the patient was able to drive home and was soon completely recovered. He lived the next 41 years of his life free of any further episodes of arsenic toxicity. I recall this experience to illustrate a simple and practical law of healing. If you know what poison or toxic substance is actually causing the illness and give a high-potency preparation of that substance, you will enable the body to cure itself. This applies to lead, copper, mercury, aluminum, poison ivy, ragweed, and many other substances to which the human body may react in a toxic manner. And indeed, you know, I have heard of remarkable improvement after, for example, giving vaccines in potency, thimerosal in potency, that is potentized, you know, this highly dilute homeopathic form of the substance. It's not always the answer, but it can be a very important part of treatment with homeopathy. Okay, let's see. Next story. Okay, let's go to something that many of us may have experienced, as moms anyway, which is chronic bladder infections. Okay. Now, this is, interestingly, a story from somebody who later became a homeopath. So, I had chronic bladder infections to the point of bleeding for about 6 years, treated with a variety of sulfa drugs 18 years ago. Doctors had suggested low doses of antibiotics every day for the rest of my life. What turned me on to homeopathy was a 1 mg dose of Cantharis, a common remedy for bladder infections made from Spanish fly. And by the way, 1 mg is a dilution of 100 to the 1,000th, so extremely high dilution. Literally, the second it was placed on my tongue, the pains and discomfort eased. And 2 days later, my E. coli count was so low that the doctor treating me at the time was amazed that I had achieved this without allopathic drugs. That sold me on homeopathy. Since then, I have studied homeopathy extensively. I have never had a recurrence of cystitis since that dose of Cantharis over 18 years ago. An amazing story. And Cantharis is one of the primary remedies for bladder infections. So keep it in mind. Okay, Lyme disease. Lyme disease. There's been a lot of information about cures of Lyme disease with homeopathy. So here's one. This actually, in this case, the homeopath is, his name is Christian Kurtz, and he is an Austrian nuclear physicist who, you know, he works as a nuclear physicist, but he's also is a homeopath and has patients. A man came to see me with a diagnosis of Lyme's disease. It was a textbook case with the wandering skin eruption and accompanying pains. The skin symptoms had already subsided, and the muscle pains had set in. They were so severe that the pain caused him to perspire so profusely that he would leave a little puddle wherever he was standing for a few minutes. He couldn't walk anymore and was sitting in a wheelchair. The pain had started in the area of the right forearm and had wandered up the arm, around the neck, and had settled above the sternum on the chest. After the remedy, the pain retraced the original path. There was a hint of an exanthema, which is the eruption, on the original spot, and it was all over in a week. After 1 week, he was completely restored and went on a trip to Bangkok. I have seen him several times since then with no sign of recurrence. There's actually a couple other Lyme stories in my book as well. Okay, next. Now, this next story is interesting. This speaks to the fact that homeopathic cures are seldom, you know, a specific, you know, targeted towards a specific one symptom, but rather to a cure of the entire person. And in this story, homeopath Steve Waldstein, who's a homeopath in Colorado, talks about his own cure. When I was given my first homeopathic remedy 25 years ago, my chief complaint was bronchitis lasting 4 months, leading to cracking ribs with coughing. The result of this remedy was, 1, the bronchitis went away immediately. 2, asthma and allergies went away. 3, emotionally, I had a gigantic improvement. And 4, a moderate scoliosis that I had had for 13 years, resulting in me spending a number of my teenage years in a back brace, disappeared over the next 6 months. It is amazing how deep the changes from the correct remedy can be. And I can attest to that. It can be amazing. Because the cure is like systemic. It's changing the entire energy or nature of your energy field in your body so that the body can then go in and repair itself. And that's how homeopathic cures of autism help. They enable the body. They don't get things out usually, or just provide a supplement because there's some lack of something. You know, autistic kids have so many different symptoms because each autistic kid is reacting in their own particular way to the energy of the disease state in their body. So the goal isn't to treat with supplements and all like this, which are just patching over these issues that are brought up by the underlying disease energy. What homeopathy will do is correct that underlying problem so that the body can start functioning normally and cure itself, chelate itself, etc. That's one reason I advocate classical homeopathy, because the goal in classical homeopathy is to get that one remedy that will repair the underlying disease state, not simply give a remedy for this or that, which is a very allopathic approach to treating the disease. Okay, next story. A migraine story. Now this is this one's written by somebody I know named Sherry Nocken. Sherry was a nurse in the United States who was treated homeopathically, became a very vocal proponent of homeopathy, and is very well known in the anti-vaccination movement. A few years ago, she moved to Wales in the UK, and she still continues to be a major activist worldwide on vaccination. She teaches homeopathy as well. Anyway, so here's Nurse Sherry Nocken. I will tell my story to the skeptics. I had migraines every 1, 2, or 3 weeks since 1981. They were severe, lasting 2 days. I tried Chinese medicine, including acupuncture and herbs, for 1 year, chiropractic, Rolfing, shiatsu, dietary changes, candida diets, and on, no results. Also, I took remedies that I'd buy in the store without seeing a homeopath, no results. Finally, I went to a homeopath in Nevada City. After 2 months on one remedy, LM Potency, I was headache-free and have been ever since, nearly 3 years now. No double-blind trial is needed for me. And then she goes on about how cost-effective her treatment was. Expensive was having severe migraine headaches from 1981 to 1995. I would buy ergotamine inhalers for 10 years at $70 each. I would try Chinese medicine for 1.5 years, chiropractic for 2 years, shiatsu for 2 years, nystatin for candida, and suffering through those candida diets, missing work and life, all for nothing. I did first go to a bad choice of a homeopath, which cost me $500. But in the end, it only cost me $115 to be totally cured, and my migraine symptoms totally leave. I had one initial visit for $80, the remedy cost $5, and a follow-up visit for $30. So that's amazing. It doesn't always work that easily, but sometimes it really does. Okay. Next one. Okay. I talked a little bit about arnica. So here's a real classic kind of arnica story, this one about a tooth. Short and sweet. Always have your arnica nearby for those bumps and bruises. This is a story from a homeopath too. I had a case of a little boy who fell on his face and severely loosened one of his front teeth. It remained loose and began to darken. The dentist wanted to remove it. The parents called me and I said, arnica. Not only did the gum tighten around the tooth in very short order so that it was no longer loose, but also all the discoloration in the tooth faded, and it is now white and beautiful and appears totally healthy. So think of arnica when you have bumps, bruises, any kind of trauma to the body. Arnica, it's very important. Okay, I'm going to one more story, and this is really one of the more profound ones in my book besides the story about my son's cure. This is an Alzheimer's story, and people do contact me because of the stories in the book. It's just amazing. Now, in this case, the man did relapse after a couple years and did eventually die, but he had a remarkable recovery thanks to homeopathic treatment, and got a couple more years of really good function in his life. Okay. This story is not a medical paper. It's just a story with a happy ending. This story was written over a year ago. In July, it will be 2 years since his first dose of the remedy. My dad continues to do well. He is now off all other medications. He can drive in town. He rewired a lamp the other day, and he's helping my mother replace a bad chip on her motherboard. He's not perfect, but he's not curled up in a ball on the floor in the fetal position. So this is the story she had written a year before that. I want all of you with loved ones suffering from Alzheimer's disease to know that I understand what you and your families are experiencing. My father has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease for over a year. My mother had been dropping hints that something was seriously wrong for quite some time. But nothing she told me prepared me for what I found when I visited home in July. The dad I knew was no longer there. He knew me but did not know my husband. He slept most of the day and night. When awake, he was either hostile and combative or curled into a defensive posture. His paranoia was constant. He thought everyone was trying to poison him through his food and medicine, which, by the way, symptom was part of the indicator for the remedy he took. He thought everyone was making fun of him. He had no short-term memory. He resented my mother, yet she was the only one he trusted. He tuned out. He didn't know his address, what year it was, who was the president. He was having vivid, violent dreams. He was exhibiting some bizarre behaviors, like stashing bags of paper trash all over the house and outbuildings. These were just a few of the symptoms. I'm sure you know the profile. I was devastated. I came home paralyzed. I thought, how can my mother handle this? How can we afford full-time care? I couldn't sleep or eat. I was worried about my father, my mother, and the rest of our family. My husband and friends immediately set about looking into therapies for Alzheimer's. My husband would come home with a score of papers, references, books, and other information. I couldn't listen to them. I just couldn't read anything. What little I did hear or read, I knew my parents would not be willing to try. There were a lot of radical and sometimes invasive therapies suggested, therapies that were not available near my parents, therapies that I knew my mother would not want. Suddenly, I remembered my mother telling me that when you've got a problem, you first do everything you know how to do, and then when you've exhausted your knowledge and ability, you turn to God and say, Lord, I've done all that I know how to do. Tell me what to do. I decided to use a therapy that I knew worked, something that I knew how to do. I decided to use a therapy that I had been using successfully for years on myself and my family. I called my homeopathic physician, Dr. Jennifer Smith. Dr. Smith is a naturopath who specializes in homeopathy. See, she recently moved from my area to Denver to do research on homeopathic treatment. Dr. Smith gave me a long list of questions to ask my mother about my father, everything from his eating habits to his dreams. I'm grateful that my mother is such an observant caregiver. It took a couple of hours on the phone to get the answers I needed, because my father would walk through the room and wonder why my mother was talking about him. The paranoia again. I then called Dr. Smith and let her run through the questions, and I answered them. It took about an hour on the phone with her. Dr. Smith then recommended a homeopathic remedy. She said that we might notice a slight difference in my father in 3 or 4 weeks. However, it took my mother 2 days to get my father to take the remedy. He thought we were trying to poison him. But he did eventually take it. It was one tiny little 1/16-inch tablet dissolved under the tongue. Dr. Smith said he may never have to take it again, or he may need a repeat dose. She was not sure. We just have to wait and see and be very watchful. He took the remedy on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I talked to my mother Friday, and she said, well, your father participated in a conversation at a restaurant this morning after church. He hasn't done that in a couple of years. Interesting, huh? Let's see what happens. Well, by Saturday, all of his symptoms had reversed. Memory problems gone. Paranoia gone. Inability to solve problems gone. The feeling that he had been betrayed by everyone gone. All of his symptoms were gone. By Sunday, 4 days after taking the remedy, he was making witty and sarcastic jokes on the phone in the background while I was talking to my mom. My mother said that he is better than he's been in 20 years. On the Saturday after taking the remedy, he installed a window air conditioner for some friends. On the following Wednesday, the power had gone out at the house. My mother was holding her ceramics class in her shop. My father hot-footed it out to the garage and hooked up the house to a generator. The changes in my father have been so significant that everyone in town has noticed and cannot believe the difference. Just by chance, my parents both had their 6-month doctor appointments the week before last. The doctor saw my mother first and remarked, "Mary, what's up? I haven't seen your blood pressure this low in years." Mother responded by showing him the bottle that the remedy had come in. She said, "See this? This is why my blood pressure is so low. I didn't take it. Ernie did. And I want you to know that the shipping to get the remedy cost more than the remedy itself." The doctor finished with my mother and went with her across the hall. Now, I want you to know that this was a man who, on his last doctor visit, did not know his name, what year it was, or who was president. When they walked in the door, my dad was sitting there reading Time magazine. He looked up and said, "Hey, do you guys realize that our Dodge minivan's been recalled?" The doctor was shocked. By this time, my mother was standing behind Dad and gave a shrug of her shoulders. The doctor just couldn't believe it. As a matter of fact, the doctor's anxious to know more, and we're going to have him contact my homeopathic doctor. When my mother discussed it with her doctor, and when I discussed it with my homeopath, we all remarked that so many people could be helped by this. Thousands and thousands of Alzheimer's patients and caregivers could be helped. All those lives could be changed for the better, even if there was just a moderate improvement in symptoms. People don't often turn to alternative medicine until they're desperate, but I know from my own family's experience that there is no one more desperate than the caregiver of an Alzheimer's patient. It's truly worth a try. The treatment was easy, non-invasive, and there were no elaborate regimes to follow. The whole therapy, including the remedy, long-distance phone charges, and consultation fees, came to less than $100. It's truly the best money I've ever spent. Everyone would not react so quickly and have as dramatic a result as my father, but even if the symptoms were just lessened, many lives could be improved. So that's a great story to end up with, and that's about all I have time for because I've gone over my time, which I always do. So I just want to encourage you again to visit my book website, impossiblecure.com, and another useful website is the Homeopathy for Special Needs Children. That's homeopathysnc.org. And finally, I encourage you all to visit and join the National Center for Homeopathy, which is at homeopathic.org. If you join, you'll get their fantastic magazine, Homeopathy Today, which often has lots of information about flu treatment and other kind of home self-treatment for ailments. And it's really chock full of information. You get lots of other member benefits, too. Just go to the site and you'll find out. So for now, just be well, stay well. Find out about homeopathic treatment for the flu and when you go on your Christmas travels. And remember, there really is hope with homeopathy.